Om Shri Sai Ram. A hearty welcome to all our listeners and participants in today's afternoon satsang. As always, from Team Radio Sai, I am Arvind, and along with me, as always, I have Brother Prem from Team Radio Sai, offering our most humble pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan before embarking on this beautiful journey that we call the afternoon satsang. You know, on a side note, we are a very special generation, for we have witnessed the dates 111, 222, 333, 444, up to 12, 12, 12. And I don't think that will happen for the next two or three generations at least. So that is indeed a lucky thing to happen. But more lucky than all of that is the fact that we have got to know God in human form, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. It has been our great privilege, our great pleasure, and our everything that He chose to reveal Himself to us. And let us remind ourselves every day morning of this great blessing that has been conferred on us, and every day is sure to be brighter and better than it was.
Sai Ram Arvind, and a very warm Sai Ram to all our listeners. Yes, indeed, 12-12-12, you know, it comes once in 100 years. Mm-hmm. You know, the next 12-12-12 is going to come in 21-12.
Okay? Correct.
But how much more rare is it an opportunity to be with Divine Incarnate?
Exactly.
And if we are priding ourselves of having to live through a day which is so unique in numbers, then how much more we should pride ourselves that Swami has given us this opportunity of being with Him, witnessing what He had to offer to the whole of mankind.
Correct, Prem. You know, often we hear of these celestial phenomena,
mm-hmm.
Like the coming of a comet or a meteor shower. And when we hear of all these, there is a lot of excitement in the press, because the celestial time span is on a much grander and larger scale compared to our human birth. Our human birth for us, 100 years seems like a big time. But in celestial phenomena, it is nothing. 100 years is nothing, because it spans millions of years. So, you know, once in 86 years, when the Halley's Comet is going to come, there is excitement in all the research laboratories around the world. And everybody is so G'd up, waiting to witness it. Because they say that, you know, only once in a lifetime will you get this chance to witness the Halley's Comet. That is, if you live up to the average life expectancy of 86, which is the average in advanced countries. And another trivia here is, they say that Mark Twain, the great writer, he was born in the year Halley's Comet passed,
mm-hmm.
the Earth. That was, I think, 1900.
Okay.
And he died in a year, and I don't know if it's 1900 or 1800. He was born in the year when the Halley's Comet passed the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
He died in the year when the Halley's Comet passed Earth again, at the age of 86. So he witnessed two comets and two Halley's Comet visits, and his lifespan spanned between those two. So I just feel that if so much of excitement is there for a phenomena that happens once in 86 years, what to say of a phenomena that happens once in 860 years, or say once in 86,000 years? And that is the kind of phenomena we speak about when we talk of the advent of an avatar. And having been part of that visit, having witnessed, having had the chance to even know about it, I really feel gratitude must ooze out from the bottom of our hearts for this great privileged opportunity and chance.
Very true, Arvind. In fact, you know, even as you were saying how rare an occasion it is,
mm-hmm.
to have an avatar in our midst, I'm reminded of what the great late Kamavadhani used to say.
Mm.
You know, he was a scholar par excellence. He had read all the Vedas, and he used to, you know, a description of him would be like a 90-year-old person who used to do all his work by himself, and throughout the day he would be chanting something or the other.
Hmm.
And he had, in fact, read through most of the scriptures which are available, you know, the Hindu scriptures which are available. And Swami used to send students to him to learn Vedas. In fact, some of the senior Vedam students who are in Prashanthi Nilam now are students of Kamavadhani Garu.
Hmm.
And in his conversation with them, he used to tell them that according to the Hindu scriptures, you know, you have Rama avatars coming again and again. He used to say...
Yeah, the Hindu system...
The concept of...
believes that there is a cycle of ages.
A cycle.
That is Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. They keep cycling, and in each cycle, the Dashavatars, the 10 avatars of Lord Vishnu and all, they keep coming.
Yeah, he used to say that they are called Kalpas. So each Kalpa has 4 Yugas, as you name them. Mm-hmm. And these keep repeating. And he said that there is a Rama avatar in every Kalpa.
Okay.
And these... I mean, it's very complex. It's not something which we can explain over radio. But he used to say that the Kalpa which is going to follow next, the Brahma of that Kalpa is the one who was Hanuman in this Kalpa.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, it's a little beyond us. But what he used to say, which is important, which I'm trying to say here, is he used to tell, but the 3 avatars of Sai are unique only to this Kalpa.
Hmm.
And, I mean, imagine what a coincidence it is. Or, you know, what a good fortune it is.
While on, you know, one hand, it thrills the intellect to know about all these facts. The heart is thrilled by personal experience. And Prem, I really, when I look back at my life today, I really don't know what I would have been had I not come to know of Swami. Just having Swami in life has made life into life. Otherwise, I feel today, if I remove Swami from life, there is only death. I feel it is Swami who brings life to everything. God who brings life to everything. And He has been everything for me. And I'm sure when I'm speaking this, it is a soul speaking on behalf of so many bodies that are spread all around the world. Because Swami has done this to so many lives. And December feels extra special for me because this was the month a few years ago, you know, when Swami physically, He acknowledged the fact that He's very, very, very close and dear to me. And He stated in His own divine way, very emphatically, that He is my best friend. So for me, it becomes very, very special, this month and Swami and the experience. And as I said, while the intellect is thrilled with all those facts, the heart rejoices because of the experiences and the love that has...
In fact, you know, this idea of Swami being an avatar and what He is leading us to, there's a very interesting story.
Hmm.
It seems there's a man who walks out of his house
and
he realizes that he's forgotten the keys for, you know, let's say his office cabin or something.
Hmm.
So he's wondering where it is. So he decides to sit down and think where he might have left it.
Okay.
So he retraces his steps back to all the places where he had visited.
Mm.
Okay, and he goes home in the meanwhile, and he's still searching. So he says, morning I did this. Okay, before this I did that. So I could have put the keys there. No, before this I went to the dining room, I could have put it there. So finally he goes to his wife, and wife also tells him that you did this before.
Mm.
Then finally he realizes that the keys are in his pocket.
Okay.
It's literally like that, what our journey with Swami. There is a person outside, and he's literally making us retrace. And like what somebody told beautifully, you chase Swami's form all your life, and finally one day you catch it, and you say, and you realize that, oh, that is what is within me.
Kabir Das says, Kasturi Kundal Basai, Mrugadunde Banmahi, Aise Ghat Ghat Ram Hai, Dunya Dekhat Nahi. He says that the musk deer in the forest smells the sweet scent, and walks, roams around in the entire forest trying to see what is the source of this scent. Finally, it tires and sits down. And as it sits down and lays its head down to rest, it sees that the sweet smell is emanating from its own navel, because the musk deer is the source of the musk. And Kabir Das says that man too is like that. You know, in search of a dear one, in search of the Lord, he roams around the whole world and finally realizes that the one that is most dear to him, his most loving companion, his most loving father, mother, friend, whatever, is within himself. And as you rightly said, it is Swami comes as the initiator of this journey, as a companion during this journey, and He is the culmination of this journey too.
And it is indeed a fortune for us that as part of our profession, as part of our daily work, we get to think of Swami and we get to share this joy with all our listeners.
Really, and for that, we offer our most heartfelt gratitude to Swami. You know, Prem, I keep telling some people when they ask you know, when we are getting introduced to each other, they ask, so what do you do? I tell them that I think about God, I speak about God, I read about God, I write about God, I see pictures of God, I edit videos of God, and I'm just paid for that. You know? It's like I'm getting paid to do my sadhana.
I mean, there is a saying which goes that, you know, somebody pays you for eating sugarcane.
Yeah, it is just like that.
It's like that. We spoke about Mark Twain, the story in which the boy is asked to paint a fence. In that, Tom Sawyer.
Correct. Whitewash the fence.
Yeah, whitewash the fence. There's that episode, you know, he's eating an apple and he's bored of doing the fencing job.
Whitewashing this one.
So a boy comes by and, you know, he pretends as though he's enjoying it so much.
Correct.
So the young boy says that, oh, it's so enjoyable, can I do it? Okay, and he says, yeah, why not? And he lets him do it and he takes an apple for giving him that job.
Forgive.
So he's got rid of his job at the same time getting paid for it.
Yeah, I feel only when you work hand in hand with God, or when you work for God, or when you work with God in your heart, these are only the cases where you can have the apple and eat it too.
Beautiful. So Arvind, that brings us to this segment and
The topic of this segment,
and maybe before we start, we should say a very friendly sidearm to all our listeners, because that is going to be quite the topic for this afternoon.
Yes, dear listeners and participants in this satsang, we thought that we would spend some time discussing on this concept of the best friend in our life. And these thoughts have been running through our minds and hearts, Prem's and mine, for the past few days, and we feel that it is Swami's will and desire that this inspiration has come, and we request all of you to participate with us in this satsang. Who is a best friend?
Yeah, because this is a question which is quite often put to us, you know, ever since we are kids.
Correct. You know, you first see a child, you ask, what's your name? Which class are you studying? And next question is, who is your best friend in school? And you always
have an answer to.
And yeah. The thing is, Prem, I have seen that from my childhood, the names have kept changing, though the question has remained the same. People ask, who is your best friend? And when I was in my first grade, I gave an answer.
Okay.
When it changed in my fourth grade, it changed in my seventh grade. As I reached college, it changed. The question has remained the same, who is your best friend? But the answer has changed. And this actually puzzled me a lot. Because, you know, the term best is a superlative. You can have only a single best. There can be so many options. I can have hundreds of friends, but I feel I should have only one best friend, because best is a superlative. So how is it possible? I was thinking that within my lifespan of, say, 20 years or 24 years that I had led till then, how is it possible that I have had a dozen of best friends? Isn't that, you know, paradoxical?
Yeah, it is. I think maybe it is the best of the friends which we had
yeah,
at any point.
Nice. Hmm.
I think the interesting thing is, you know, when we say a best friend, there are certain qualities which we look for in a friend.
Hmm.
And when you say a best friend, somebody who kind of exemplifies those qualities the best.
So it's something like we look for the best compromise possible.
Yeah, literally, I think so.
Among everybody there. So, Prem, what are the things that you expect from a best friend?
I mean, the first and foremost is understanding. You know, you want somebody whom you can, share your problem with, and he kind of understands, or he or she is able to understand and think with you, literally.
And he or she must be able to be totally understanding, even when such kind of understanding is not forthcoming from your side.
Exactly. Right? Even when you're not understanding, that person should understand the lack of understanding too.
Want the best. Well, I feel one more thing that a friend should be is, you know, even when the whole world leaves me, ditches me, walks out on me, he should walk in even at that time. He shouldn't. I feel that is another important trait, because if he knows everything about me, I mean, I'm saying he, it can as well be replaced with she.
It's just for the conversation. Ease of conversation, we're using he, dear listener, so let's not, please don't take it otherwise.
Yeah.
It can definitely be a he or a she.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, talking of understanding, another thing is, an understanding which kind of transcends words is what you expect from a friend.
Hmm.
Like I read a quote somewhere which said, a friend is one who understands that when you say, leave me alone, he understands it as I need you.
Very right.
Because so many times, you know, we don't mean what we say in anger. We want somebody who reads past that anger and past that emotion and sees what you really want.
That is a deep understanding and complete understanding that you spoke about.
True.
And, you know, many times it happens that when I am emotional, I am not able to take a decision properly. I need my friend to help me, and though the friend may give a good solution, I am in no mood to listen because I am emotionally not in a proper state. I may not listen to him, but later on when I realize my fault and when I take to the path that he has suggested, you know, the friend should be gracious enough to not tell me, I told you so, you know, you didn't listen to me.
I think that's one point where we lose a lot of friends.
Correct.
Because many, many people actually don't fit this bill.
Mm.
Because I think that's basically because of the ego, you know.
Correct.
When I tell you something as a friend and you don't listen to me, it hurts my ego. So the best chance I get to kind of stamp my ego, I'm at it actually.
Exactly. So that is another important trait maybe, that a good friend will not let ego come in between the friendship.
Very true. You know, one who places friendship way higher than personal egos and, you know, pride.
And he does that because he cares a lot for my happiness. For him, my happiness is equal to his happiness. And when it comes to a choice between happiness versus ego, he always chooses happiness, and therefore he gives a lot of importance to my happiness. That is another trait that I feel a best friend embodies.
Exactly. And same can be told, I mean, an extension of that happiness is honor. Your honor is my honor.
Correct.
And then I'm reminded of a very beautiful couplet in the epical work of Thirukkural. You must have heard of it.
It was written by Thiruvalluvar.
And
great.
From many discourses, Swami is actually quoted from the verses. And there's one
particular... Thiruvalluvar was a Tamil poet.
Yeah, he was a Tamil poet and...
saint.
The work which he left behind kind of speaks of his sainthood, but he was not really stood out as a saint. But literally, the work which he left behind was, you know, so deep and so profound that
the Thirukkural is the body of work that he has left behind.
It's okay. About the thousands of verses, and the beauty of that Thirukkural is every couplet has only two lines. The first line has four words, the second line has three words.
Oh, so seven word couplets.
Yeah, and like that, thousands. And only a few thousands are left with us. It seems he must have written much more than that.
And these couplets contain?
Literally cover every topic in life.
Oh, okay, nice.
You know, from friendship to a relation between a husband and a wife, from a father and a son, you know, what education should do to you, what you should do in social life. Every topic. And the best is every message is conveyed just in seven words.
So you were telling something about a friendship
and
honor.
Yeah, this is about friendship. A very beautiful couplet. It says that if you're on a pedestal, on a stage, you're talking and there's a huge gathering in front of you. And for those days, it was only the dhoti which was worn.
Yeah, a waistcloth.
A waistcloth. Okay, and he says that in such a situation, if your waistcloth just slips away.
It opens out.
Yeah, just opens off. You've not tied it properly. It just opens up. At what speed your hand goes to hold that cloth?
Correct. Okay.
A friend is one who comes to you in that speed. When your honor is at stake, you know, just as fast as your hand would rush to cover yourself, a friend would come to you in that speed to help you.
That, in order to be so spontaneous and so quick, a friend would definitely have to be selfless.
Exactly.
Selfless and very giving from the heart. So that is another quality. I mean, he should be selfless, should be giving.
And another quote which I read somewhere is, a friend should read you like a book.
Oh, correct.
I think it's cover to cover, you know. Because what happens is, it's a very interesting point. Because read me like a book, how would you read a book? You wouldn't read a chapter, you wouldn't read a page.
You will
read
know the whole
book. And most often people judge us by one moment. You know, one moment of
one
emotional...
One sentence in a page or...
Yeah. But a friend would read you like a book from cover to cover.
And also have the ability to read between the lines.
Exactly.
Because...
And maybe even, you know, put up with the boring chapters.
Correct.
And be with you in the interesting ones too.
Exactly. And because he knows all this, he also respects my space, my privacy. He gives me my time. He understands when is it that I want to be alone. He understands when is it that he wants, I want him by my side. So all this actually, you know, we are discussing the different, if I can say, different ways the deep understanding exhibits itself. All this has to be there. Means he has to respect my space. And that's why nobody ever will be able to take the place of a best friend, because he's a conglomerate of all these qualities.
Literally, it's like one piece in a jigsaw puzzle. Only that fits in there.
Correct.
Like, you know, it's perfectly made for that, you know, what do you say, that bond. Nothing else can take its place. Literally, it's like that, because when we say that, you know, a friend should read us like a book or give us our space and accept when we want to be alone and things like that, it's almost like a friend who kind of accommodates every notorious behavior of yours.
Exactly. See, in the sense, he knows my faults. Even, as I said, in my life, I have had many best friends. I have told them, I have shared with them things that I have not shared at times even with my parents. And I feel one trait of a best friend is, should know everything, should know all my weaknesses, all my negatives. And yet, that should not affect his love, concern and respect for me.
Exactly, that ability to share anything and everything, from nothing to the most important thing. Because you believe that that person is not going to judge you based on what you say or what one moment in your life.
Okay, Prem, I think we can just go on generating this wish list of qualities that a best friend should embody. Now, coming to the practical question, now, your wish list and my wish list are almost similar. Now, suppose this was a wish list given to you, do you think you can be a best friend to anybody?
I really don't think so. And I think that's also the problem. Because we all have a wish for a best friend, but we never end up being anybody's best friend.
Correct.
Because we ourselves cannot fit the bill of all these, you know, conditions which we lay.
But we want somebody to fit in.
True. And I think that is why this search is endless. Though we meet thousands of people, and I mean, we all have been, especially when you stay in a hostel, you tend to interact so closely with so many people.
You're interacting with your roommates and cupboard mates more than you interact even with your family.
And sometimes, you know, friends need not be just equals and classmates. You meet elders, you meet teachers, you meet mentors, seniors. But the search, I think, goes on.
For me, if I look back in my life, it has gone on, and dozens of friends have, you know, it has been more like a Formula One race where, you know, for some years it was, at one point in time it felt that Schumacher, if you see Michael Schumacher, he is the driver, and any race if you see, he will be number one. But it has changed now in a matter of 5-6 years. And same thing has happened, I feel, even in my friends list also. The pole position has kept changing over periods of time. And really, I don't think anyone can be told as my best friend, because over time it shows where it all the shortcomings are seen. And I don't think in the similar manner I have been a best friend to anybody at all.
And the thing is, literally, the kind of list which you've laid, it just suggests that the best friend should be omnipotent.
Omnipotent, yeah. And omnipresent.
And
omniscient also.
Really. Should know every vagary of your mind.
Correct.
To play with it. And you know, another interesting thing actually I left out in the list which I have, which is
your
quite
wish
true.
List.
Yeah, okay. My wish list. You know, it says, a friend who knows how to emotionally blackmail you, but stop when I'm just about to cry. It is like, you know, the very fact that he doesn't want to embarrass you. A friend is, you know, is actually looking at your welfare, but to make sure that you don't break away, you don't, you know, give up. So what does this list suggest then?
I think it's to any sane person who can think even a little bit logically, it shows that it becomes impossible to have a human friend who can be all this. And that is why time and again, in many discourses, Swami has kept telling that God is your only friend. I remember when Swami came walking out of the interview room, he called one primary school boy, a little boy, and when he came, Swami asked him, there are many variants of this episode that has occurred. Mm-hmm. And in this variant, Swami asked him, you know, where's your brother? This boy had only one sister. So he just said, Swami, I don't have brother. Swami said, hey, everybody is your brother. All are your brothers. So the boy nodded. And then Swami asked him, where's your sister? The boy promptly replied, you know, that she was with his parents. Swami said, hey, no. Everyone, all are your sisters. So the boy seemed to learn that also. And then Swami asked, where is your friend? And the boy, you know, deriving from the first two answers, he said, Swami, all are my friends. That time Swami corrected him. Swami said, hey, no, only God is your friend. So we see this again and again from a KG student, a kindergarten student, to a PG, a postgraduate student. Swami has always emphasized the fact that everyone is your brother, everyone is your sister, but friend is only God. And we can easily understand the reason for that, because you see this whole list that has been generated, I think only God can fulfill.
I think that is why it is said, you know, love all, but trust only God.
Trust only God. Because that's a fact. And, you know, if we just sit back and think about how Swami has been like a friend, we see there are instances where he has embodied each of these things in our wish list. You know, including being a party
to our mischief.
Yeah.
Literally, you know, there are so many occasions when Swami would become a child and, you know, join us in our excitement, join us in our... The famous incident, of course, is the Tetra Pak. We must have heard of that so many times. You know,
I think we can relive that experience.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, there are two sides to the story. Hmm. And we got to hear it from two different people.
Okay.
The one was actually, the Swami goes to the OT school. And there the Swami, usually whenever Swami goes to the OT school, Swami takes a lot of goodies with him.
To distribute
to the children over there. And he used to take apples and Tetra Paks and ice creams and whatever. He used to carry all of them in the convoy along with him. So once he went there and distributed these Tetra Paks, and generally kids, as we all have been through, once we empty a Tetra Pak, the first thing we think of doing is putting it down and stamping it out with a big
bursting
bang.
Huh?
Bursting it with a big bang. So, and these kids also are used to it. But, you know, the moment the Tetra Paks were given, the teachers were on high alert. Because they knew that this would be in the minds of all these little kids. And so the teachers were looking around. And there was this one kid who was very, very, you know, restless with that Tetra Pak. Because he wanted to, you know, burst it.
Mm.
And the teacher was giving him very, very cold stares and trying to tell him that, Swami is here, don't do it. Okay? But this boy was so restless.
This is all in Swami's presence.
Okay. Swami is there in the dining hall and all these kids are drinking and all that. And this boy is so restless. Little kid, you know, must have been in first or second standard. And in that restlessness, he looks up to Swami. And you know what Swami does? Swami immediately picks up one Tetra Pak, which is empty, puts it down and stamps it. Swami bursts it. And that's it. For the next 5 minutes, they were bursting, you know,
crackers
throughout the room. Everybody was bursting. And the interesting thing was how this happened, you know, just before actually Swami went and distributed these Tetra Paks, Swami had taken some institute boys along with him, you know, to Ooty. And midway Swami had stopped somewhere just to have a bite with all these boys who had accompanied Swami. And there Swami had distributed Tetra Paks to the boys, the college boys who had come with Swami. So they all drank this juice. And, you know, Swami threw away one of those Tetra Paks from which he had drunk. So one of the boys told Swami, Swami, you shouldn't throw away the Tetra Pak like this. And Swami said, why, what should you do? We'll show you, Swami. And the boy put it down and burst it and said, Swami, you should do like this. And literally, you know, Swami kind of enjoyed it so much, he went and enjoyed it with all the kids also. So, I mean, it's, you know, when you talk of best friend, when I said that a best friend need not be a colleague, he could be a senior. What friendship does is, it brings that equality.
You know, it removes off the barriers of age, caste, creed,
abilities,
gender,
and everything else.
Yes.
It just equals, it puts the other person on an equal platform.
You know, they
that's
often,
what Swami did oftentimes.
They say that friendship is possible only between equals. I feel it can be slightly reworded as whenever there is friendship, they become equals.
They become equals. And Swami showed it to us on so many occasions.
There are so many stories, you know, written like this, where a king, a prince and a pauper, a king and a beggar, they become the best of friends, and all the barriers that exist, they just dissolve because of the friendship. So I really feel it's the other way. It's not that friendship happens between equals. Once friendship happens, we are equals.
And another interesting mischievous story which I heard was one of our lecturers narrated to us. He was staying in the building where Swami was residing then. There were a couple of boys who used to maintain Swami's residence.
To help
Swami with the, you know, arranging things inside. So one day they decided to clean the lift which Swami was using. Okay, so one boy got into that lift chamber to clean, and he told the other boy, "You stand outside and make sure nobody switches on the lift."
Correct.
Because he is inside. So the boy stood guard outside the lift, and just then Swami came by. And Swami said, "Switch on the lift." So this lecturer of ours was trying to tell Swami, "Swami, this person is inside, he's sweeping inside." Swami said, "Switch on the lift, I'm telling you." And he couldn't convince Swami, so he had to obey Swami. So he switched on the lift, and the moment he switched on, Swami said, "Switch off."
Okay.
So you can imagine just the jerk.
So it would have come off.
So this person who was inside got furious. He said, "I told this fellow to, you know, stand guard," and he didn't. So he literally came out to fire at anybody who was at sight. And when he came out, the first person in his sight was Swami.
Okay.
So he realized that, you know, Swami must have been up to this mischief. And the moment he looked at Swami, Swami like he gave a grin and said, "Not me." And he pointed to the boy. I mean, what can we say about such?
Yeah, and there is such a strong message, you know, when Swami behaves, or when Swami does this as a friend, as an equal, subconsciously it registers that, you know, me and Swami are just the same. And that is the ultimate message that Swami has actually come to give us, that there is no difference between you and me. I am God and so are you. And he does this through friendship. No wonder that friendship or sakhyam has been elevated as the penultimate step before Atmanivedanam, exactly, or merger with God. You know, one more aspect about Swami's friendship is what we discussed, that, you know, the total understanding. He knows our dreams, our aspirations, and he does everything possible to ensure that we are able to fulfill our dreams, our aspirations. It was a small episode that took place, I think this was in 2005, the year 2005. Our class was in the final year, we were passing out, and I think this was 2004. So we planned to put up a drama in Swami's presence, and this drama was entitled as Shri Krishna Raya Bharam, where Lord Krishna goes to the Kaurava court as an emissary of peace. But we know this ultimately that it fails and the Pandava-Kaurava war, the Mahabharata war takes place. But then, you know, at the Kaurava court, the most powerful episode that takes place there was when Krishna decides to storm out because the Kauravas, the evil forces, are not listening to his wise counsel. The evil Duryodhana, the head of the Kaurava brothers, the eldest among them, decides to capture Krishna and imprison him.
True.
Now, this is something wrong that should not be done. You cannot capture an ambassador, an emissary who comes in peace. But when the guards try to attack Krishna, Lord Krishna reveals his cosmic form, the Vishwarupa. It is called as the Vishwarupa Darshan, which the Lord later gives again to Arjuna on the battlefield after the Bhagavad Gita is imparted. But because of Vishwarupa, nobody is able to touch him. Now, when we were planning the drama, we were thinking, how on earth are we going to show the Vishwarupa?
Okay.
So our idea was, we will have a huge, gigantic screen on which we will project.
Project it, okay.
Project, make a projection of. But just 2-3 days before the actual D-Day, we got to know from, you know, the people involved in this projection idea, that there were some problems and technically it just was not going to happen. So they said that, you know, you can forget your Vishwarupa on the screen, do something else. We were in a fix. We were thinking, how can we show the Vishwarupa then? And then one of us came up with a brilliant idea. The idea was, you know, Vishwarupa actually means the cosmic form which pervades every part of the universe. So though we cannot show one huge form, we thought that when the soldiers come to capture Krishna, a pillar in the court can shatter and from that Krishna comes out. From behind the throne Krishna comes out. From everywhere in the court Krishna comes out.
Okay.
And about 10 or 15 Krishnas together make a kind of formation which, you know, represents the cosmic form. They stand in a kind of a V.
Okay.
That is often depicted in the international Krishna consciousness temples.
Yeah.
Krishna with many heads, many hands. Mm-hmm. You know, so the many heads and many hands are formed by all the boys together.
Okay.
And when we did in a practice session, it was coming out very well.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so excited because the 2 days later was the drama and we felt that we had got a nice Vishwarupa darshan ready. In fact, when Swami came to interact with all the students in the bhajan hall, just before the drama, one of the students, you know, he was so excited, he said, "Swami, are you ready? We will show you Vishwarupa darshan."
My God.
And Swami asked me, Swami asked that boy,
okay.
You know, that he was my classmate, he asked him, "You will show me Vishwarupa darshan?" And none of us understood, you know, we were so excited about our Vishwarupa darshan. He said, "Yes, Swami, you want to see Vishwarupa darshan? We'll show you." I mean, Swami must have wondered, I showed Vishwarupa darshan so many times, and no, you want to show me Vishwarupa darshan. So Swami said, "Okay, show it to me." And so all the Krishnas were called in, all the 12, 13 Krishnas, and they made this formation. And though there was no music, though there was no lighting,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were using music and lighting to enhance that effect. Without the lighting and music itself, it looked pretty impressive.
Okay.
And we thought Swami would be very impressed. But when we looked at Swami's face, you know, Swami was, he brought down our enthusiasm in a moment, you know, by saying, "I think that dhoti should be little more down. See that thread hanging there, you should cut." He started making jokes. And, you know, we felt, "Oh, what is this? Here we have planned something grand." And Swami, what we didn't realize at that time is, Swami knew how much hard we had worked to bring out this Vishwarupa darshan in a grand fashion. And he wanted to ensure that it's perfect till the last bit. I'll tell you what he did. First of all, he made all the corrections in every Krishna's costume. And then he said, "You know, why have you made Krishna so blue?"
Mm-hmm.
If you make it, then he called Krishna and he said, "If you are so blue, none of the Gopikas will come behind you." So he even decided the shade of blue that the face should be. He spent almost 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes with the makeup and the dress of all these Krishnas. And then, as the drama was going on, you know, that is the understanding that only a friend, a true best friend can have, you know. We suddenly noticed that the drama was happening in the evening. It had not been dark enough. It was not...
Yeah.
Dramas
used to start around 5.
Around 5. Say. So it was about 5:45. And sunset was still happening. And mm-hmm. it was not dark enough. So, you know, when we show this Vishwarupa darshan
that
scene...
That effect will not be as...
Yeah, the lights and all, that effect won't be given. But what to do? The drama was progressing. It had to happen. Exactly before the Vishwarupa darshan was seen, Swami stops the drama, or shall I say, pauses the drama, and inexplicably goes into the interview room.
Great.
And he stayed in the interview room for almost 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. And by that time, you know, there was sundown. And within a matter of 15 minutes, the whole Kulwant Hall had become dark. And the lights had come on. And then Swami came and sat on stage and, you know, pressed the play button again. He said, "Yeah, continue." And then the scene was done. And really, even to this day, remember with lot of, you know, gratitude and excitement in my heart, what a beautiful scene it was. And that scene got enhanced doubly, sheerly because of the lights. And the lights had their impact only because Swami understood and Swami did what only a true friend can do. This way, you know, what is most important and dear for you, what you have worked for so much, for the friend too, it holds the same kind of value. And Swami showed it that day.
And the nice thing, you know, in the narrative, what you mentioned, when Swami was correcting you, I think that also is a very, very important attribute of a friend.
Hmm.
A friend never hesitates to tell you when you're wrong.
Correct.
But at the same time, doesn't hold you by, you know, hold you in ransom by the mistake which you do. He corrects you.
He corrects also.
Yeah, corrects you in private. Yeah, corrects you in private and praises you in public. Literally, Swami, I mean, it's a nature of Swami which you have noticed so many times. And even as you're telling, I'm reminded of what happened with Sai Prakash, a colleague in Radio Sai.
Okay.
For one of the sports meets, he had this task of having to paint that picture of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna during the war.
Yeah, Sai Prakash and his classmate.
Yeah, Sai Prakash and his classmate had to draw this. And Swami had given them the permission to sit in the Purnachandra auditorium and draw, because this was a huge, I think, 30 feet by...
Every year during the sports meet, each campus presents a painting as a backdrop.
Yeah, as a backdrop. Huh. For the final formation, they have a huge painting, which is...
Which is unique to that campus.
Yeah, each campus has its own.
Themed according to that campus's...
programs. Hmm. So this campus was having this painting of that Sanatan Sarathi. That is the name.
Like the Krishna, eternal charity.
The eternal charity. Krishna driving that of Arjuna. And so this painting was a huge one, 30 feet by 40 feet or whatever was the dimension. So Swami had given them permission to do it in the Purnachandra auditorium. So these boys were here painting. So in between, one day Swami wanted to come and have a look. And as always, Swami brought a VIP along with him to show. And Swami came in and saw that painting, and he was like, you could see the excitement on Swami's face. Swami was so happy, and Swami was telling the VIP who came along, see, it is so nice, so realistic. And, you know, was pointing out things.
Pointing out to the details on the horse.
Yeah, details, how well it has come. And especially the horse, Swami said, see, so muscular. The muscles have come out so well. The expressions have come out so well and all that. And after all this, Swami kind of let the VIP go out, asked him to leave. And then, you know, turned back, came to this boy and said, Entra kukkalaga undi.
Your
horses look like dogs. What proportions have you gotten? They look so much not like horse. And, you know, just then Swami was actually placing that very horse.
Really? Swami, why in that instance, Prem, how many times, you know, I have squirmed in my seat when Swami in public starts praising the students. You know, he tells, it's a great privilege and honor, you know, that Swami considers, he says, students are my only property. It thrills our heart, no doubt. But after that, you know, when Swami used to tell these boys, every day morning by 5 o'clock they're up. They rise before even the rooster crows. They do everything in perfect discipline. By 9 o'clock in the night they're in bed. They always think of Swami. They always, you know, those are some things like what I wish to be. It is not what I am. And yet, what we desire to be, what Swami desires us to be, He puts it forth in public as what we already are. I used to feel so embarrassed. I used to tell Swami, I'm not all this, what are you doing? But Swami would always do that. Privately, he has chided me for so many of my faults. But when it came to a public stage, He is always praised. He has never condemned, He has never criticized. And that really, a perfect best friend alone can do it. You know, criticizing and correcting in private and publicly only praising and showering love.
But Arvind, with what we have spoken, I think some people might get the idea this is a relation between Swami and students. But I think that's not the case.
Because we have been students, we remember student examples.
But actually, this kind of a relationship, I think Swami has established with everybody who has come in, you know, contact with Swami. Literally everybody, and the innumerable number of people who share this kind of a, you know, shoulder-to-shoulder relationship with Swami. You know, if we talk of Kasturi, how many incidences where Swami has played pranks with him and, you know.
Oh, I remember one episode where, you know, Kasturi writes in his book, where he is standing looking out for Swami and he doesn't know where is Swami, he's not able to see Swami, and suddenly somebody from behind comes and covers his eyes, you know. And when he sees it is Swami from behind telling that, you know, I surprise you? I mean, those kind of things, even as we close our eyes and imagine that happening, how sweet it is. And only, you know, only a friend will do that.
And, I mean, so many devotees, I remember... one of my seniors, his father used to come to Swami in the 1960s. And this boy used to tell me that very often his father used to tell, you know, you've not seen the Swami we've seen. And Swami was so close to us. Swami was, you know, just like one amongst us. And I mean, what can we say? It's a beautiful feeling even to recollect that Swami who's been and who shall always be our best friend.
And yet, you know, Prem, it is... again, as you said, that it is not just between Swami and students. When we tell of Swami as a best friend, it is not the Swami in form alone. You know, because the way Swami responds, you know, I remember the episode of one more student. Again, it's a student experience, but this boy, you know, he had completed his MBA and he was, you know, he had that pride in him that I have completed this. You know, it's a prestigious thing. It's a good degree to earn. And having earned that, he was working in the United States. And in the company that he was working in, he came up with the idea that the labeling that happens for different components being manufactured there, if that labeling process could be automated, it would save the company thousands of dollars, a lot of labor, and a lot of time also. So he went, he knew coding and he came up with a proposal with, and he made a different, all the things that were necessary to get that whole process automated. And he put forth this proposal and after considering it for a long time, it was approved. And then this boy, you know, he started working on the project. He completed it in time. And he said that he checked it for about 1,000 times. 1,000 times he checked whether this was functioning well, and it was all functioning well. And so a D-Day was chosen when everybody, you know, it is a formal opening for that. And everybody is there wanting to see this project go live. And even as the project goes live, he starts getting phone calls telling that, you know, the labeling isn't happening. The labeling is just not happening.
The program had failed.
The program had failed and he has no idea. He has no idea because just the previous day it has worked and now what is happening? And within 5 minutes, all the top shots of the company, you know, they're there in his chamber, they're shouting at him. And well, what he said was really abusive language, you know. They're abusing him. He doesn't know what to do. He's at his wit's end. And that process over there, in every minute, 500 to 1,000 components are being thrown out. I mean, it's not getting labeled because there's nobody to manually label. They have been removed, you know, because it's automated. He has no idea. He just requests them all to leave him alone for 5 minutes. And he says, he closes his eyes and from inside, he hears Swami's voice so clearly. Hey, Kumar. That is the way Swami used to address him, you know, Kumar. And he hears it and Swami says, what are you doing? You go do this, you do that, you correct this, you change this parameter, you do this, you do this. And he's a kind of on, you know, autopilot. Just doesn't know what he's doing. Whatever instruction is coming, he's just doing. And he says, one by one, step by step, Swami gave all the instructions. And within 15 minutes, he gets a call which says, you know, everything is fine now. We are on. It's going on fine. It's a great success. And the same people, you know, who abused him, come to shake his hands. But he just folds his hands, prostrates to them. I mean, and he knows, he realizes who is the one who truly stood by him and did it. And he was in tears. Because really, Prem, how many times in our life we come across such situations where when things start going wrong, they go really horribly wrong. And then the whole world leaves us. Nobody cares. We are all alone. And in such moments, we realize that we are not alone. Because always holding our hand, standing by our side, being with us, in us, above us and below us, is our beloved Swami. A true friend indeed.
Beautiful, Arvind. I mean, even as you were speaking, so many incidents and, you know, what people have shared come to mind. One is of my classmate who is, you know, a very good friend of mine. After he had finished his studies, he wanted to be in the ashram and work for Swami, whatever Swami would give. But Swami had other plans for him. And Swami had created situations in such a way. You know, sometimes it happens that Swami doesn't ask you to leave. Because that's a wrong, that's a painful feeling to go away with. Sometimes you feel that Swami has asked me to leave. So Swami would create situations by which, you know, you are forced to leave. And this boy was in a situation like that. His parents were asking him to come back. So he had decided on one particular day that he will leave. So he had written a letter to Swami. And the night before he was leaving, you know, he has this dream. And Swami is in front of him. And he's on his knees with his letter. And with his voice choking, tears in his eyes, he says, Swami, I'm leaving tomorrow. Swami, I have to leave tomorrow. Will you at least take this letter? literally saying that, no, you didn't accept me, at least accept this letter. Hmm. And that was the feeling with which he was saying, and he said he was in the verge of breaking down and sobbing like how you can ever sob. And here he was saying that, Swami, please, at least accept this letter. And you know, what is the response you would expect to an emotion like that?
Swami takes the letter.
You know, Swami would take the letter, hugs you, or Swami, you know, Swami would say that, you know, bangaru or little. But Swami's reaction was completely opposite. Hmm. Swami came to slap him.
Oh.
Okay, literally Swami came with his hands.
This is in the dream.
In the dream. Hmm. Swami came like, I'm going to slap you now. And he was surprised by that reaction. And what Swami said was so beautiful. Swami literally came like giving him a blow. And Swami said, can you ever leave me? Hmm. Can you go anywhere without me? Swami said, get lost. Go wherever you go. I will come with you. Literally with that force, Swami said, go wherever you go.
You know, I'll go with you. That is why sometimes people, you know, when they are introducing to each other, they, you know, they tell this is Arvind, and you know, he's doing seva for Swami. He serves Swami. I feel so embarrassed because, see, like these statements, you know, when Swami says like that, you go wherever you want. I wonder who is being served and who is the servitor, you know, because it is almost as if Swami is at our service. In fact, in an interview, Swami asked, when Swami was speaking with a devotee, the devotee said, Swami, I am your servant. You just have to command. You are my master. And Swami said, no, I am your servant. You are my master. And this debate went on, you know, the devotee saying, no, Swami, no, it's not. You are the master, I am the servant. Swami telling, no, I am the servant, you are the master. Finally, you know, Swami said something that's really, you know, a lot of food for thought for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, see, whatever you tell me to do for you, I do it, right? Devotee said, yes, Swami. Whatever I tell you to do you do? The devotee just could not answer. Because how many things has Swami told us and we don't follow it? And then Swami said, now tell me, who is the master, who is the servant? I am the servant. Whatever you tell, I do. But what I tell, you don't do. And a lot of food for thought, but that is it. Swami serves us. And there, you know, Swami is saying, you go where you want to. I will never leave you. Swami has said, once you have God, even if you leave God, God will not leave you.
I mean, it's definitely been beautiful recollecting. I think before we go ahead with this discussion, we'll just take a short break. This is a lovely song which I have here.
You're playing the song or you want to play the Qawwali?
No, I'd like to play, it's actually a mix. It's an interesting song. It was actually sung by a very famous singer, Mr. Hariharan.
Oh, okay.
He's a very famous playback singer. This is actually from his album. You know, he had released as a ghazal album. It has beautiful words. So this was adapted by our students. What they did was they took the song as it is and they added a few Telugu lines. And you know,
I remember the song.
Yeah, and they presented it, and it was actually played for Swami when Swami came to the hostel. The interesting thing was when this Hariharan had this opportunity to perform in front of Swami during one of the birthdays, he actually asked boys, what can I sing? Some of the music college boys, he asked them, what can I sing for Swami? And they told him, sir, we have done this with one of your songs.
Song, we have changed the words.
So he actually picked up those Telugu words and he sang it for Swami.
Oh, beautiful.
So I got that song with here. So maybe we'll listen to that song before we proceed in this discussion.
Kaise jiyo main yun tere bin, tu jo nahi to tere bin mera jeena lage. Kaise jiyo main yun tere bin, tu jo nahi to तेरे बिन मेरा जी न लगे. कैसे जीऊं मैं यूं तेरे बिन, तू जो नहीं तो तेरे बिन मेरा जी न लगे. कैसे जीऊं ये भूल कैसे करूं मैं भूल जाऊं तुझको. ये भूल कैसे करूं मैं भूल जाऊं तुझको, मैं खो भी जाऊं कहीं तो तू ढूंढ ले ना मुझको। तेरा मेरा मेरा तेरा रिश्ता बना, सबसे जुदा कैसे जीऊं मैं यूं तेरे बिन, तू जो नहीं तो तेरे बिन मेरा जी न लगे कैसे जीऊं मैं। जीवन आकाश मेले चिरलोब ललिके नि प्रेमा, ना जीवन आकाश मेले चिरलोब ललिके नि प्रेमा, करलई नविडि पानि देनुले नी पैन माकुन प्रेमा। तेरा मेरा मेरा तेरा रिश्ता बना, कैसे जुदा कैसे जियूं मैं यूं तेरे बिन, कैसे जियूं मैं यूं तेरे बिन, तू जो नहीं तो तेरे बिन मेरा जी न लगे कैसे जियूं कैसे जियूं कैसे जियो।
Beautiful words indeed, wasn't it, Arvind?
I remember being at this concert when...
Yeah, and I was wrong in saying it is a birthday concert. It was during the Guru Purnima time.
Correct.
He came back again during the birthday celebrations. But this he sung, you know, he sang during the Guru Purnima celebrations. And wonderful words, you know, that make our relationship the most unique.
As I said, December is that time of the year when I remember that most beautiful, you know, episode. It spanned so many years, Prem, and forgive me if I go into it, and I just have been withholding it because I'm thinking if I go into it, there's no chance to speak anything else, but I just can't hold back anymore. You know, it was in the year 2002 or maybe 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, at different stages in my life, I had different best friends. And at that point in my life, there was one homeopath doctor, you know, whom I considered as my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
She is still a good friend, but at that time, you know, she was my best friend. And in Bombay, before I was leaving and coming to the hostel after the vacations, I was searching for a card to give her, just a normal friendship card. And as I was searching in the Archie's gallery, I came across a very interesting card. It said, 101 reasons why you are my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was listed there. 101 reasons were listed spanning over 4 pages. It had to be opened up. You know, the card was a quite complicated card. It would open up at 3 different layers. And all the 101 reasons and, you know, many of the things that we discussed that as the qualities of a friend,
okay,
they were listed in that card.
Mm-hmm.
I bought this card and I was about to give it to her. And at that time, you know, suddenly, as I said, we expect best friends, but we are not best friends. I wanted her also to consider me as the best friend. But since she didn't do that, my ego would just not permit me to give her the card. So I just didn't give her the card. And the card I carried with me to hostel. And as I studied on, you know, during the course of the year, I made some other best friend and I felt that this boy, you know, I need not take names, but I felt that he is a best friend for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that I must give this card to him. But as I went through the card, I saw, oh God, there are so many things that he doesn't fulfill. So I thought, you know, the best friend is yet to come. And I didn't give him the card. I just left it be at that. Instead, what I did was I bought another card and gifted it to him. Again, a few years passed. And like this, Prem, one after another, you know, I kept feeling that this card is the best for this person. He is a best friend. I think now that is it. This is the best friend that I can get. But again, within few hours or sometimes few days, I feel, no. There are so many things that are lacking, so he cannot be the best friend. In this manner, it pulled on not for a few months, for 6 complete years.
Okay.
This card stayed with me. I had bought it in 2002, and it was almost 2008. By then, I had completed my undergraduation.
You would write their names and strike it off or something?
No. I would write it in my heart, in my mind.
Okay.
But before physically writing it on the card, I would feel, it's not right. So, you know, in one case, what I did, I picked out all those statements which I felt were relevant for that time's best friend,
okay,
wrote it down on a separate piece of paper and gifted him that piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
But this card stayed with me untouched, nobody's name written on it, nothing. So, it was almost 6 years. The cover of the card had yellowed with age. Mm-hmm. 6 years is a huge period of time as far as paper is concerned. And then in 2008, you know, by then I had joined Radio Sai. I had completed my master's in chemistry. I had completed my MBA. So it was a good long period of time when I had made so many best friends and had removed them from the best friend list also. At this time, here I am going to tell the name because the name has some significance. This was also the first time I wrote a name on the card.
Okay.
You know, we had Brother Amai who had come here.
Mm-hmm.
Before becoming Brother Amai for me, he was my best friend Amai, in the sense. Now also he's a very, very dear, close, good friend. But life has taught both of us that the best friend is only God. And well, at that point in time, in 2008, you know, his birthday was on December 23rd. So, and I thought for his birthday, I shall gift him this card, which says, 101 reasons why you're my best friend, and here I am wishing you a happy birthday. So, for the first time in the card's life, I wrote a name on the card. I wrote Dear Amai, A-M-E-Y. And nothing else had to be written because it's all there in the card. But I felt I should let him know what a prized place I was giving him in my life. So I wrote a kind of a covering letter.
Okay.
In that covering letter, I described the history of the card. I said, you know, first I bought it for this person, then I bought it for this person, then I bought it for this person, then it changed, and now finally it's coming to you. This was there, and then with love, Arvind was there. And I gave the card to him on his birthday, mm-hmm. and his first reaction was, hey, why do you need to give all this card and all this stuff? Yeah, I don't believe in all this. I just said, no, you just keep this card. It's
you have no idea what it is.
Exactly. You have no idea and you're just brushing it away. He walked with me to the studios here and we were talking and it was his birthday and we had a little ice cream, little cake. We chatted up and then after that he left for the hostel. Can you believe it, Prem? He had forgotten the card on my desk. And I thought, here I am, considering this as the most precious package of my feelings and emotions.
I think already you would have, you know, lost out in some of those points. Some of those 101.
But then I thought, you know, it's a busy day. A birthday is a busy day with so many people wishing you. So I thought it's just a matter of time, you know. He'll call me and say, hey, I forgot the card. I waited for it till almost 12 o'clock, you know, in the night. For the day to get over. His birthday to get complete and no call came. So I was sure that he has just gone back and slept and that's it. The next day morning, I gave him another chance, you know. I called him up and I said, so how was your birthday yesterday? He said, well, yeah, it was fine. It was nice. Good. I had a nice time. Then I said, any special gifts or cards that you got? I mean, I couldn't get a more stronger hint than this. So I said, any special gifts or cards?
Mm.
He said, nothing much. The usual. The same people gave the same cards. Yes, yeah, fine. And they're all the same thing only. You know, this, he has not even recognized that my card is missing.
Okay.
Instantly, I had hot tears in my eyes and I said, no, he's not my best friend. And just like, you know, we said from the heart, he heard a voice which said, hey, Kumar. Something, you know, I didn't hear a voice, but I felt it in my heart. Swami's statement where he says, only God is your friend. Only God is your friend. Only Swami is your true friend. And then it hit me. I said, oh my God, yes. This card is meant for Swami. So you know what I did? I had written the name Dear A-M-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
In front of the A-M, I added S-W.
Okay.
And the E-Y, I overwrote it into a single Y. So A-M-E-Y became S-W-A-M-Y. Amay became Swami. So to Dear Swami, it became.
Mm-hmm.
And then that covering letter that I told you about, I tore it up. I wrote a fresh covering letter.
Okay.
You know, to Swami, telling him, Swami, do you know the history of the card? Do you know the magnitude of the thing that is going to happen today? I am gifting this card to you. So I wrote down the whole covering letter and packed it in the card, in the cover. And I took a fresh cover because, as I said, that old cover had got yellowed with age.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that and I wanted to give it to Swami. And in my heart, I told Swami, you better accept this card today itself. You know, because I have seen so many rejections in different ways. I don't want it to be rejected. I have put everything into this and I am giving it to you. You are my best friend. Don't let me down. Take this today. Because if you don't take it today, I'll feel that you are also not my best friend. And, you know, the next day was actually the day I took the card. It was the 24th of December 2008. I mean, that is Christmas Eve. And you know how Christmas Eve
really
is.
Busy, huh?
It is a day when the overseas devotees sing their carols and songs, and Kulwant Hall will be packed to its capacity. And on such a day, I was hoping to give this card of love, of friendship to Swami. And as Swami entered the Kulwant Hall for the darshan rounds, you know, you can make out that it is one of those days when he is not in any mood to accept letters. There are days when he used to tell people who used to walk behind him to go and collect some letters on his behalf. But there were these days when anybody who shows a letter, he tells, keep it, keep it, keep it. And Swami completed the darshan on the whole lady side. He had not taken a single letter.
Mm-hmm.
I was starting to get discouraged. I was thinking maybe I chose a wrong day to offer my hand of friendship. But then another part of me said, if it is truly friendship, then Swami will understand this also. Today only is the day. Today only is the day. You cannot postpone it to any other day. Then I thought, let me have a look at the gent side. Swami completed darshan on the gent side and not a single letter has been accepted. This was something like a very, very rare occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Swami completing the lady's side and gent side without a single letter. And then between me and Swami, there was only this birthday boys block, as it's called. You know, all the birthday boys are sitting with their trays.
With trays with chocolates and other things too.
And 99% of the time, Swami doesn't disappoint the birthday boys because it's their special day. You know, Swami blesses them. And I saw that all of them had letters in their trays. And Swami goes there and one boy over, second boy over, third boy over, he is not taking letters. Finally, from one boy, he took a letter. So only one letter he has taken and then he comes. And when he comes near me, my heart is thudding. I can hear it beating so loud and hard. He looks at me and he asks, marriage? Means he asked me whether I was holding a marriage invitation.
Okay.
I just rushed to him. I said, Swami, best friend card. I don't know what sense it made, but I was so eager to give it to him. I said, Swami, best friend card. And Swami just accepted it. I felt so happy. And as far as I was concerned, that's it. It sealed the whole thing. But you know, Swami has his own ways. When Swami came on stage, I saw that maybe in the portico from the VIPs and from the seniors and the elder devotees, he picked a few more letters. When he came on stage, he had 4 letters in his hand. Out of which one was this card that I had given him.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami blessed the program to begin. So all the overseas devotees began to sing their songs and carols after showing the card, you know, the Christmas card. And as they are singing, Swami began to open those letters and read them. He finished 3 letters and finally came to my card.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there and suddenly I realized that I had sealed the card with tape on all sides. You know, because it's something very precious to me, so I wanted it. I mean, had packaged it with so much care. And now Swami was struggling to open the tape. So he just turned to the boy who was sitting beside him and just threw the card onto his lap. And I felt disappointed. I said, you know, if only I had left the card open, Swami might have opened it also.
Mm-hmm.
Even as I thought this, Swami turns to that boy and tells him, open that and give me.
Okay.
I felt so happy. Mm-hmm. And that boy opened the cover and gave, and Swami took out the card and started reading it. My God, Prem, you can check the videos for the 24th of December 2008. Swami read it throughout the second song. And then Swami looked up as they completed the song, smiled, blessed them and told them to start the next song. Continued to read it. He kept reading it. I had my camera with me. I took a few snaps of him reading the card. But for a good solid 25 minutes, not 25, maybe 20 minutes, he's reading the card. And I felt that he's going through each of those reasons.
101 reasons.
And I felt so overwhelmed with love and gratitude. You know, this, you know, the Swami has come down for the whole earth, but Swami has that capacity that when he speaks to you or when he interacts with you, he makes you feel that he has come down only for your sake. And that was one such moment. I felt Swami was here in the Kulwant Hall, in India, on the planet Earth, only for my sake. He was reading that card with so much interest. In fact, after about 5 or 6 songs, Swami took a break and he went into the interview room. So I was happy that for 20 minutes he had read it. When he came out of the interview room after about 5-6 minutes, he still had the card with him. He continued to read it. And even after Aarti, when he went back into the car, you know, when usually Swami leaves, he hands over everything to the boys who are there by his side and they get it, you know, to his residence. Everything else he gave, but not this card. He carried this card along with him personally to the residence. And, you know, I was just in tears. I don't know what to tell. So much of love, so much of importance. It is such a big occasion, such a big event. You know, even if my own brother comes and I'm in middle of something, I'll tell him, you know, just hold on. We'll see it tomorrow. Because this is a big event, let me finish it. But not Swami. Even on such an occasion, on such a day, he knew how much it mattered. And he responded the way only he can. And that's why, you know, I feel that my best friend is Swami. And nobody can even come a close second to the best friend that Swami is.
Wonderful experience. I mean, really, you so beautiful traveling that whole experience with you. This is one thing, is Swami is our best friend. And the other thing is, why friendship is so special? Because, of course, we have no doubt in the fact that if somebody can fit that bill of a best friend, it's only Swami. But what is the speciality of looking at Swami as a friend? Because as you said before, even the Navaveda Bhakti Marga, the penultimate stage to the final goal is to be a friend of God. Sneham or Sakhyam or whatever that is referred to as. What is the speciality of the relationship of a friendship? Why not brotherhood? Why not being a sister? Why not that of a mother and a son? What makes this, you know, relationship of between friends so special?
The changelessness, the eternal nature. You know, Prem, the relationship between a mother and a son, for example, it changes over time. It is different when, you know, between an infant and a mother, it is different compared to a toddler and a mother. And then you get a tween and a mother, then a teenager and a mother. And, you know, recently when I was speaking to my mother, I said, you know, Mom, you're like a very good friend to me. See, that is also changed. I mean, she was my, in the sense, in the relationship, she was my mother for so many years. And now she's like my friend. The same is true of any relationship between brothers. The way the two brothers are when they're kids, the relationship changes. But between friends, as you said, it's always timeless. It is changeless. The relationship is the same, irrespective of age differences, irrespective of anything. And that's why I feel friendship is such a beautiful relationship. And every other relationship has some give and take, some duty associated with it.
Correct.
There's a duty of a mother, the duty of a son. I don't think you'll ever hear something like the duty of a friend. Because friendship is love without duty.
Correct. Exactly. That's the definition of divinity itself, right? Swami so many times has said that famous quote of his,
duty with love is desirable. No, duty without love is deplorable.
Yeah, duty with love is desirable.
Correct, yeah.
And love without duty is divine. And I think that's the speciality of friendship, and that is what, you know, Swami has given us. Because oftentimes you've said there's nothing we can repay to Swami. He doesn't care about it. Because he never thought what I'm going to get in return for what I give. And I think this aspect of this relationship is beyond Swami's physical form.
Exactly.
Because all of us have received so much. Even the ability to sit in front of an altar, to sit in front of Swami and pour out all that is in you, negative, positive, bad feelings, you know, jealousy, whatever, we can pour it to Him and still know that He will still love us.
I'm telling you, Prem, this is happening every day of our lives. Now, I used to feel, what will I do now that I have lost such a friend in the physical realm at least? But you know, Swami has said, what you said to that boy, you know, you go wherever I'll be with you. That holds good not only to the XYZ dimensions of space, but also to the dimension of time. Because even today, it may happen as a gentle whiff of His fragrance in the air, or vibhuti pouring from a photograph, or a reassuring voice from within, or the perfect text to read. The way Swami is there in life, today morning, Prem, I am telling you, I don't know how to explain it. Me and my wife, we are in the altar, we are standing there and praying to Swami and just sharing, you know, praying to Swami in the sense, what we do is just share all our disappointments, our joys, everything. Sharing our love, that's all. And right before our eyes, I don't know how much more right before your eyes it can get, vibhuti comes oozing and rolling out of the frame of the photograph in three bursts. One, two, three, like in lots, you know, three lots of vibhuti. It just poured out, and in my hurry, I tried to take out my iPhone and, you know, try to record that vibhuti coming. Just could not manage it, but it just comes out in such quantities, and I'm in tears. There is no reason, you know, Swami says there's no reason for love, there's no season for love, there's no birth, no death. Love is never born, love never dies. Because love is eternal. And that kind of eternal love, only Swami gives. And Swami has given it show, and this I feel, for me personally, it's proof of how His love, His friendship cannot die. Space can't take it away. Time also can't take it away. Swami is very much with me, in me, always, as He had promised. It is only up to me to keep my end of the friendship, to be as understanding as He is, as loving as He is. That is
very important, Arvind, because as we said, even when we are looking for a friend in the world, we are looking at who will fit being the best friend for me. But as you pointed out well earlier, we don't see, can I be that best friend? And same thing we do even with our relation with God. We are very easily able to, you know, with a little bit of reasoning, understand that He is our best friend. But I think our life's mission, or what we need to do, is, can I become that best friend whom I want God to be for me?
Correct. Every time we tell, you know, I depend on God, I need God, God is my support, that is because He is our best friend, He is my best friend. But can Swami look at me and say, I can depend on Him, I can lean on Him, I know that whatever I do, He won't misunderstand me. And that should be our endeavor. We should be good friends to Him.
And actually, that is a very important aspect of friendship itself. Because, you know, we spoke about a friend being a support. But actually, a very, very important aspect of a good friend is he who has the right and who has the courage to correct you. And it's a very, very important thing, because a true friend will actually put your welfare even higher than the relationship.
Very right.
He might know that you will, you know, walk away out of this relationship. You say, I don't care for you anymore. I don't want you as my friend anymore. But still, if it is good for you, he will correct you. In fact, that is what comes out in, you know, one of the most famous friendships in our scriptures, is the friendship between Karna and Duryodhana. Because Karna, when he is being, you know, put down in front of an array of kings, he's called as a son of a charioteer, because he is brought up by a charioteer. You know, he's not allowed to compete in the stage where other kings are competing. So he's told that, you know, you're low born, you cannot compete, this is only for monarchs. So at that time, Duryodhana comes forward and gives him a kingdom, makes him a king, and he says, now you compete. So, you know, he's so bound to that gesture of Duryodhana, he becomes a very good friend, and the relationship which they have is very, very exalted. You know, and there's one particular episode where they say that Karna is playing with Duryodhana's wife. They're playing dice. Okay, at that moment, she runs away. She's about to lose the game. She runs away. So Karna catches her hand, saying that don't run away. You know, you're being a cheat. at that moment Duryodhana comes in.
Oh.
Okay, and when he's holding his hand, the pearl bracelet which he has, you know, comes loose. So the moment is, Duryodhana walks in, Karna is holding the hand of his wife, and these pearls are scattered all around.
Mm.
And you know, very poetically, a very poet represents that scene, saying that, do you want me to pick up the pearls for you? That is what Duryodhana says.
Okay.
Because that much he trusts his friend. So that was a very, very, you know, special relationship, a friendship. But it fell down because Karna didn't have the courage to correct his friend.
Hmm.
Though he very well knew that his friend was taking the wrong path, he never had the courage just, you know, to correct him. And that is the same thing. When I say that I want to be Swami's best friend, I should not only seek that understanding from him, I should also understand that when he is correcting me, however painful it is just because he is being my best friend.
Correct. You know, when we find these worldly examples, like how you said about Duryodhana and Karna, we are able to find examples for different facets of friendship. It is only God and only Swami who fulfills all at the same time. You see, for example, when we speak of Karna-Duryodhana friendship, it's perfect except for the fact that Karna didn't do this, except for the fact that Duryodhana didn't do this. For everything there is some. It's only Swami's beyond exception. And in the same manner, even if we cannot in the complete way be a friend to Swami the way He is to us, at least in some of these facets, can we be like examples? For example, you know, you told me the story of the incident of those two boys.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's a very, very beautiful story and I'd love to narrate it here. You know, the aspect of friendship where, as we said, reading between lines. You don't have to express what you want, but just that hint of this would make my friend happy or this is what he wants, and you rush to do it. And this was an example of that. Those days, you know, old Vrindavan, there was UG campus, the Arts and Science College, before the university came into being, it was a UG campus. And once the UG course is completed, boys used to go to the Bangalore University to complete their MSc.
Bangalore City?
Yeah, Bangalore City. But they used to stay in Vrindavan, in the hostel, go to the college in Bangalore, attend and come back. And they used to have a very, very tight schedule. Wake up at 3 in the morning, work in the Gokulam, you know, tend to the cows, clean the hostels, and then rush to the... And Bangalore was a good 1 hour drive away from the ashram. And then come back late in the evening and somehow manage to have some darshan in between. So they used to have a very, very tight schedule. And there were two of these boys who didn't find time to cut their hair.
Okay.
And just cut their hair means maybe a week would have passed after the time when they should have had a haircut. So they had the slight little bit more than what Swami would like. And you know how Swami points it out. Swami comes by and Swami looks at the two boys and says, "Boys, I cannot tell you anything. See, if it is my college boys, I can tell them, have a short haircut, be like this, be like that. But you are Bangalore boys, no? City boys, their culture is different, fashion is different." And these boys were a little upset and he said, "Swami, we'll cut our hair literally, you know." Swami said, no, I cannot tell you, you're up for Bangalore boys. And Swami walks away. And the next moment, you know, these two boys just slip away from there. And when Swami comes back for darshan or after darshan, those days Swami used to give darshan to boys and then go out to give darshan. And when Swami came back after darshan, these two boys were standing there with their heads tonsured.
Clean shaven.
Mm-hmm. And at that moment, Swami literally ran to them and hugged those two boys. And you know, Swami was saying, "I didn't mean this, boys. No, this is not what I meant." Those boys said, "Swami, if you know this would hurt you so much, then it doesn't matter to us at all." I think that is that reciprocation to Swami being a best friend.
And if not possible to be like Swami, at least in these facets, one or two, in our own ways, we should keep trying to keep this flame of friendship from our end also. And I feel that will make life so beautiful, because the more we give, the more we receive. That is the law of the universe.
And I think that is why the friendship, God, worshipping God as a friend is actually just below being one with Him. Because, you know, suppose you are my friend. You can have lapses in your understanding. You can have lapses in the way you deal with me.
Correct.
But when I say God is my best friend, it also comes with the adage that here is a person who is all-knowing, who never makes mistakes and who always makes the right decision. So there are times when, you know, in our relationship with Swami, and Swami doesn't respond to our prayers, when Swami lets us suffer what we are suffering, or Swami apparently doesn't take our side. So many occasions are there. But I think as a friend, what we should do is give him that understanding. That, you know, Swami, I know that you are my best friend, and as a friend, I know that you will not do anything which is not in, you know, in my welfare.
And for that too, whom else do we pray to but him? You know, I remember on one occasion, and this was in my 11th class, I used to write letters to Swami.
Okay.
And in all the letters I used to write, Swami, please never leave my hand. Please never let go of my hand. Never let go of my hand. Then one day Swami didn't take the letter. This was a common theme in most of my letters. One day when Swami didn't accept the letter, I was thinking, why, what is wrong? I'm asking a very noble thing. I'm not asking for anything worldly. I'm just telling Swami, don't let go of my hand. So then Swami came in my dream that night and he told me, hey, what you're praying is foolish. Just remember, I will never let go of your hand. You ensure that you don't let go of mine. So next day on, what you know, I used to write, Swami, please ensure that I don't let go of your hand. Please ensure that. So in that way, praying to God to be our best friend is one. And now we should also pray that God, let us be your best friend. Let me be your best friend. Let me develop those qualities, those traits which are in you, so that I too can, so that you too, you know, you can look to me and say, this is my best friend.
In fact, you know, just talking about that prayer which you made long back, I'm reminded of a prayer another student of ours made to Swami, and he was sharing with me, a very senior student.
Mm.
He was telling that once in an interview room, Swami had told him that you don't study beyond your 12th.
Okay.
Okay, and this boy was interested.
You don't enter college.
Yeah, don't enter college. Okay, he was interested in doing a graduation and he wanted to be well educated, but Swami said, no, stop with your 12th. So this boy was trying to tell Swami, I want to be with you, I want to study. Swami said, you want to be with me, you can be even after your 12th. Mm. Swami said, I will give you my word that I'll keep you with me, but you don't have to study. So, you know, his apprehension was, he was wondering that you would not have a name in society, right?
Correct.
You're just a 12th pass, literally like that. So he was actually wanting for that sake. But Swami said, you don't have to study. So kind of Swami convinced him that I'll give you all that you want. You don't have to, you know, what you think you need to do is not necessary to receive what you want.
Mm.
So after that, this boy made a very beautiful prayer, which was, you know, Swami himself was moved by the prayer. And he said, Swami, I will do whatever you say. I will accept this command which you're giving me. Just make one promise for me. Swami said, what is it? He said, Swami, next time, don't suggest anything to me. Mm. He said, Swami, next time, just make me do what you want me to do. Don't ever give me the choice.
Mm.
And you know, Swami was so very moved by that. And I think that is the most apt prayer for all of us.
Mm.
As you said, just not saying to Swami that, Swami, be my best friend, but make me your best friend.
Dear listeners, thank you so much for being part of this satsang. It feels so wonderful. Do write to us what you feel and your experiences. We are waiting to read them and make them part of this satsang. You can write to us at listener@radiosai.org. And before we conclude by offering our most humble pranams and gratitude at Bhagwan's lotus feet for giving us a chance to be on his own radio channel, we would like to play one kavali for all of you to enjoy.
It's a beautiful way to wrap up this segment in which we had this opportunity to recollect Swami and to make a pledge again that, Swami, you alone will be our best friend and our endeavor this life will be to become your best friend. So before we give way to Chandu, who will be bringing his program Love to Love, we're going to leave you with this beautiful kavali.
जीना तेरे बिना मुश्किल है, जीना तेरे बिना महबूब आलम, ये दिल लगे ना तेरे बिना. tere bina. Nazar wo pyar ki mere dildar ki bayaan zubaan se jo hoti nahi tere bin suni lage zindagi aadhi raat suni lage zindagi aadhi raat suni lage zindagi nazar wo pyar ki jo dil se juda hoti nahi
मेरी आंखों में تیری تصویر سمائی ہے
کہ تم میری زندگی ہو
کہ تم میری بندگی ہو
ہو
یاد کیا
پاس ہو احساس